broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February 10th of the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. On your radio, in the traditions of our founders, it's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe in the checks and balances wisely put in place by our founders. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't need revolution. We do need restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. In fact, we can apply the pure principles that made this country great once again. And America will be great once again. America's still a wonderful country, ladies and gentlemen. We've just lost a little luster. And it's time that we work hard to get it back. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Attorney at law, personal friend, vaccine expert on the radio with us, Alan Phillips. He's an attorney. He's got a couple of fascinating websites, vaccinerights.com and pandemicresponseproject.com. And wow, what he's doing has been in the news for us because we've cared about it for a long time, but the mainstream press has certainly sat up and take notice. Alan Phillips, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Pleasure to be back with you again, as always.
All right, now it's amazing to me, and I give a presentation across the country. I give two presentations, really. One's called He Who Owns the Media Makes the Rules, Alan Phillips. The other one's called The New Media Takes Center Stage. And what's fascinating to me about this is they can take an issue and instantly make it mainstream press news. We had a couple of cases of measles in Disneyland, which is horrible. Don't misunderstand me. However, they've now dovetailed that into a national debate on vaccines and virtually used every trick in the book to force everyone virtually to take vaccines. And we're starting to see this roll out in national opinion polls where they're just absolutely lying to the people. And if they tell a lie often enough, it will stick, sir. Isn't that kind of where we start today?
Sam, what's really going on here? Well, there could be multiple things going on, but the primary thing that's going on is the same thing we saw right after 9/11. Now, I'm not comparing a measles outbreak to falling Twin Towers, but the technique here is identical. Right after 9/11, within 3 months, the CDC was pushing the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act. This is model law about how to handle emergencies on states all over the country, and they succeeded in that wave of fear from 9/11. This was very calculated and deliberate, in my opinion, on getting legislation passed in a majority of states where now these states have overreaching authority, where they are violating constitutional boundaries, where they are bypassing or avoiding proper checks and balances. The exact same thing is happening now. They're whipping up this wave of fear, and now bills are already being introduced in states around the country to remove the non-medical exemptions. We have got to be focused on our state legislatures right now because, Sam, what determines who gets a vaccine and when, and who can say no and how, is all at the state law, not all, but primarily at the state law level as it pertains to state residents.
I think you're absolutely right. Now, it starts with a drumbeat of propaganda. Absolutely. And the propaganda starts with this idea, hey, golly, somebody came in from somewhere else, another country, to Disneyland. Golly, they got a couple people sick at Disneyland. Those darn unvaccinated folks, those anti-vaxxers running around. Now everybody's getting sick everywhere. It might turn into a pandemic. I mean, I know that no one's died from measles in the last couple of decades, but people have died from the measles vaccine. I know that the reality is that, you know what, you get measles in most people, Most do very well. People don't die. People actually get lifetime immunity from it. I know in foreign countries and other places where the sanitary conditions aren't up to par, and where nutrition's not up to par, and where healthcare's not up to par, these kind of diseases can be disastrous. But it's a risk-reward analysis, and in America, we don't have near the problem there, but it all starts with this drumbeat of propaganda and flat-out telling lies, Alan Phillips.
And I wish I could argue with you on that, Sam, because I don't like saying that we're being lied to in the mainstream media, that President Obama is going on national TV and lying to us, that politicians are lying to us. Not like that's a real shocker for people. But when the president does it, when the mainstream media repeats it over and over again, and we've had lots, we have outbreaks all the time in this country of different diseases. Why are they seizing on this one in particular?
And hold on, let's make it very clear. We believe those outbreaks are sad, and we believe there are solutions for those. Let's just make it very clear.
Well, Sam, there's even some debate on that. You know, when you get measles, as you pointed out, you get lifelong immunity. But not only that, there's research showing that adults who, as children, got measles and mumps have lower rates of cancer and other chronic diseases.
And that's all true. However, here's the way I look at it. I look at it in terms of principle. It's not left, right, up, down, any of that stuff. It's just principle. I'm sad when anybody gets sick, sir, anytime.
Well, let's face it. None of us likes to be sick. None of us wants our children to be sick. So I certainly don't disagree with that.
I'm sad when my kid gets in trouble, too.
But some people, and this is right off the CDC's own website, you can get natural immunity without even developing symptoms.
That's
right. A lot of children who are not vaccinated and have never had a classic case of chickenpox or measles or whatever turn out to be immune to them anyway. And so it makes you wonder, is there something failing in the health of the ones who do get sick if there are some who get immunity without even getting sick? But in any case, yes, nobody wants to be sick.
The point is this. You know that your child's in trouble. You know that you need to take action for your child to teach proper behavior, to help them understand, little teeny Johnny's 3 and about to run in the street, and you grab him and give him a little swat on his bum and say, you know what, don't go on the street, I love you, and you'll get hurt. And you don't do that even though you're sad about it because you want more trouble. You realize that even though it's sad, it's still the greater good. And I think some of these illnesses are the same. I'm sad when anybody gets sick. I'm sad when my kid gets chicken pox and feels horrible, but I'm also realizing that it's the better course. It's that kind of a sad, right?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear, Sam. You're always, I so admire the way that you are clear and articulate your views and positions, and we have a very high level of agreement, so that's why I love coming on the show. But regardless, you and I fall in the same place, I think, on the larger freedom issue here, that it's not even so much a question of whether anybody ultimately should or shouldn't, so much as it is we should all have the right. Now, and we all individually have, of course, our opinions on that, but there's room for a range of opinions, I guess.
Of course there is, and that's why I bring this up like this. I don't mind if we debate the vaccination issue. In fact, I think it's healthy to debate it. What I don't want to do, though, is debate it in a propaganda environment of lies and flat-out intentional manipulation where both sides of the real discussion and the truth can't come out. That's my problem with this whole scenario. Then my other problem is after we debate this fair and square with transparent information, I want people to be able to choose. And what they want to do is lie to you and then force you to be subject to their lies.
Yeah, and a huge part of what is going on that needs to be addressed that so far has rarely been raised, I think even in the alternative media, is the vastly overreaching influence of the pharmaceutical industry on state and federal policy and law. We need to separate the industry from the politics and from the government. And, of course, one thing you'll never hear on the 6 o'clock news, not without radical change, don't get me wrong, I'm willing to hear it, is the fact that we've got an industry here that routinely engages in massive criminal behavior. And what I mean by that is it is common for pharmaceutical companies to be fined, criminal fines, in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and even billion-dollar criminal fines have been assessed. And this is a problem that's only gotten worse in recent years. They do it for two simple reasons, Sam. Nobody goes to jail, and there's a net profit. So the people who are running these companies have narrow enough vision, myopic, if you want to think of it that way, where they're focused on so narrowly on the bottom line that they don't care if they overstep moral and legal boundaries to maximize the incomes.
Well, they've also manipulated reality and law to where it's basically private profits, public accountability, right?
Exactly. And this is the whole point. If we could get the mainstream media to separate the financial motives and other agendas you and I have talked about from the actual genuine public health aspect, what does the science really say? At best, the science is conflicting, but they are perfectly happy to say the science has been resolved. Well, you know, President Obama, I agree with you. The problem, though, is that that resolution does not support your conclusion. The resolution.
Well, and that's kind of the problem. When they run around saying vaccines are safe and effective, my response is, why don't we read the insert together? On air, talking about the side effects of the vaccinations. When you say they're safe and effective, let's just read their own propaganda, I mean, their own inserts. And then if you want to say they're safe and effective, I'm going to ask you about the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. We'll get into that in a second, Alan Phillips, and then measles and more. Alan Phillips with us, vaccinerights.com. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Alan Phillips, vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com, riding shotgun on the broadcast today. We're talking about vaccinations, ladies and gentlemen. WorldNet Daily has a great headline, Measles Vaccines, an Inconvenient Truth, WorldNet Daily. And the story goes on and says, measles vaccines kill more than just measles. The CDC data shows no deaths from infections for 12 years. But those who are opposing mandatory vaccinations for measles are portrayed as ignorant, even dangerous. There's suggestions that parents ought to have their kids taken away, that they ought to be sued, that they ought to be thrown in jail. But the Center for Disease Control and Prevention records startling truths. While no one's died of measles in the United States in the last 12 years, hey, 108 people have had adverse reactions because of the effects of vaccination. So, Alan Phillips, my question is, where is somebody in the national debate that knows how to take off the gloves? When they run around and say they're safe and effective, you have no clue what you're talking about. My response is, why don't we just on air read the insert together, and we'll read about the possible side effects, and we'll read about the damage that can be done, and then let's talk about the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. And can't somebody just take off the gloves and lay it out and say, hey, you're spending literally millions and millions and millions of dollars on when they're not safe and effective, and the inserts tell the truth or the tale about how abusive and how dangerous and the side effects that relate to vaccinations and how it really is. We could talk about measles and say, hey, there's no deaths due to measles, but there are to vaccines. We can say the same thing when it comes to polio, etc. I mean, we can go on and on with the facts, can't we?
Well, first of all, Sam, absolutely. There are multiple sources, to address the issues and to refute the mainstream propaganda. The problem here, of course, is that they're not interested in having a debate. They control the mainstream media, so they are specifically not allowing that debate. I mean, Sam, something really strange to me has happened to me over the last couple of weeks. I have actually had people contacting me from MSNBC, Bloomberg News, LA Times, New York Times, there was another NBC affiliate, somebody from NPR in California. Now, only one of these people actually did an interview with me, and I don't even know if they're going to use anything I gave them. So I've never been contacted by mainstream media before, and then all of a sudden they're all contacted.
Well, they're hoping to get attorneys and doctors that'll jump on their bandwagon, and when they finally they run into a buzzsaw with you, they're not sure what to do with you, sir.
Well, that may be it, because I know that these are all owned by the same people who control the pharmaceutical industry. They're not going to let my view out there. Now, I'm willing.
You also know full well that if you had their view, they would be basically making you a rock star.
Well, maybe I should have thought about that. No, but we have to do exactly what you've been doing for years, Sam, and are doing today and now, is provide that alternative means whereby people can engage in a meaningful, objective debate. But as I've said repeatedly in the past, over more than 25 years now, the injury compensation program has paid out on average over $110 million a year, and that's higher.
Let me say that again. On average, over $110 million a year. And how long has it been in effect?
They've been paying out for over 25 years now.
All right, so we're talking about, if it's $100 million a year, we're talking about well over, what, $2 billion?
The total payout, including attorney's fees, is now over the $3 billion mark.
Okay, so what we're saying is vaccines are safe and effective. However, when people get injured, when they're not really safe and they're not necessarily effective per se, then it's going to cost us $3 billion as taxpayers. See, that's an easy factoid of reality to toss out. You get somebody with a couple of even single clips articulating this, and America's views on this will change, won't they?
I tell you, Sam, if we could get just that one fact in the mainstream media for a week, you'd see a collapse of the entire vaccine industry. And, of course, that's why you don't see it there, because there are people controlling that information to prop up this false industry, policy, and law.
They operate on fear. They operate on propaganda, flat-out lies. And my problem with this whole thing is even Rand Paul, who, you know, a lot of people would hope would be libertarian in nature. On one hand, he says you should have a choice when it comes to vaccines, but then he tweets a photo of himself taking the jab. I guess what your actions are so loud I can't hear what you're saying kind of an idea comes to mind. But eventually, I believe they're going to try to force vaccines on all of us, aren't they? And that's their agenda.
It's not eventually. They're working on it right now, Sam. I know for sure in California and Texas, they've already introduced bills to remove completely the non-medical exemptions, and I suspect it's going on in other states or will be shortly.
Yes, it is. In fact, there's a headline from the Associated Press. It says this, California colleges to require measles vaccinations. And the story goes on from the Associated Press. University of California students will have to be vaccinated against measles and other diseases under rules that take effect 2017. This is not a debate anymore. They've already decided it. The article says the university currently requires students to be inoculated only for hepatitis B, but the new rules will require measles, tuberculosis, or TB, chicken pox, whooping cough, and meningitis. This is getting out of control, sir.
Sam, there are literally hundreds of new vaccines in development. The door was thrown wide open to this back in 1986 when Congress passed the, Something like the, it's a vaccine injury, childhood injury vaccination act, something like that. But it created this injury compensation program that you and I have been talking about, among other things. And basically, there's no liability there. The vaccine manufacturers and anyone administering vaccines, they're all free of liability, so they're free to push this agenda as fast and far as they can because it's a multi-billion dollar industry. It's been growing at about 10 to 12% a year, projected to continue doing so.
By the way, it's the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, just to clarify. You're exactly right.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Sometimes forget the exact name.
How I feel about that vaccination injury fund. It's not a fund. It's called a program. But it's certainly a fund when they steal $3-plus billion from the taxpayers over the safe and effective lie, huh?
Now, you got to understand a couple of other things, though, Sam, because that $3 billion is the proverbial tip of the iceberg. Officials from the CDC, the FDA, the American Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, an independent survey by the National Vaccine Information Center, multiple sources have estimated or confirmed that only about 1 to 10% of the serious vaccine adverse events ever even get reported.
In other words, let me just kind of say it this way for the mere mortal amongst us. We've already spent $3 billion on this, and that's with probably what the best guesses are is under 10% reality reporting. In other words, if we had the real truth, that would probably be $30 billion or more, right?
Probably more, because of those that do get into the program, that file a petition seeking compensation, only about a quarter of them actually ever see any compensation. And, you know, somebody is not necessarily 100% dealing with a true vaccine reaction just because they filed the petition. But there have been problems with the way the program
has Your point is it's case by case, and just because someone claims that doesn't mean that it's fact. And you're correct. I agree.
But just because they aren't compensated doesn't mean it wasn't a vaccine injury either, because the program has been designed and redesigned over time to make it harder and harder for anybody to get any money.
In other words, it's an intentionally manipulated moving target where government's in bed with these private businesses to shift responsibility. It's public responsibility. When things go wrong, the public deals with it. When things go right, the private sector gets rich hand over fist.
Absolutely. There are about 130 attorneys in the country that do these vaccine injury and death cases, and people need to understand that the government pays the attorneys. You don't have to have any money out of pocket. So if you think you got a vaccine injury, get a hold of one of these attorneys, because there are people who go into this program representing themselves because they don't have money for an attorney, and they don't know that you don't have to have money for an attorney, and the people that represent themselves will lose a...
But those who have the right attorneys, though, it's basically a game where it's all rigged. They'll let you win because they know full well, hey, winning's okay as long as it doesn't become a bigger issue and expose the truth. Alan Phillips with us on your radio. Hang tight, y'all.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
What's so special about the Get Prepared Expo? Imagine having the opportunity to learn from some of the best preparedness and survival instructors available today. The faculty of USAPrepares.com. Imagine meeting your radio instructors all in one place. The last weekend in March. Imagine having lunch or dinner at a table with your instructors. And the cost? $10.80. Imagine having your favorite instructors autographing and personalizing your new books. Imagine buying Berkey water filters at deep discounts, the lowest price in the country. Imagine buying freeze-dried long-term storage food at the lowest price in the country. You don't have to imagine. This is real. It's at the Get Prepared Expo, the biggest and best preparedness expo there is, March 27, 28, and 29 in Lebanon, Missouri. One-day tickets are $8 on the website, getpreparedexpo.com. Getprepareexpo.com.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Dateline California, Kurt Crosby's on your radio. Alan Phillips, our guest. VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com. Representation is key when you're dealing with vaccines, ladies and gentlemen. Also, you got to stand for transparency. You got to stand for choice. I'm pro-choice, pro-choice and everything, but pro-death. It's interesting, though, the folks that want death and abortion, they claim they're pro-choice. But when I talk to them about my body and vaccinations, they're very un-pro-choice. In a hurry, they're not against pro, or they're not for pro-choice in that regard. It's kind of strange. Nevertheless, I think we ought to have a big old measles party. Kurt, what do you think, buddy?
Well, Sam, this is coming to you from a state where, for example, you know, it's pretty much a known fact that AIDS is spread through homosexual, you know, transmission, et cetera, all that stuff. And so you can have any of those kind of parties in California, but now the state is cracking down. Yes, sir, they're warning parents against having these measles parties where they, well, maybe pass around, like,
hey, can my kid come over to your house?
Measles. Yeah, I mean, you got to cut that out, man. None of that stuff, but, you know, all that homosexual stuff, that's okay, you know, because that's freedom of speech.
Well, the Supreme Court says go gay, so there you go. Alan Phillips, what do you say? It's kind of strange how if people want to engage in behavior that we know spreads disease, as long as it's appropriate behavior to that they love, then it's all good. But if you want to make sure that your kid gets a lifelong immunity without vaccination, and you're just, like, dangerous.
Well, it's all about serving, you know, agendas that is not what represented by the veneer they put on the agenda. So, you know, there's all, I hate to generalize and say always, but I tell you, when it comes to infectious disease, it certainly seems to me there's always an underlying agenda that is something quite different from the face they put on it to present to the public. But all the more reason, you know, as we talk about when they're presenting any misinformation, which obviously goes on in this arena, that is just in and of itself, along with many other reasons, why we need to have the right to make an informed choice, and that that right should not be imposed upon us. And I can't emphasize two things enough, Sam. One, that we need to become legislatively active, and two, that there are ways to do that that actually don't involve a lot of time, but you have to do it in a way that's effective. There are a lot.
All right, I want to get into the legislative options in a second, because I think there's a lot that we really need to focus on there now more than ever. I knew the forced jab was a coming, but I didn't think they'd crack down and push so hard so quick, but that's how they seem to roll. Before we get there, though, Alan Phillips, I just kind of want to ask you a question. We have the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 that got passed, thus creating this compensation program, etc. My question is, why on earth would we do that if they're safe and effective, sir?
Well, in 2011, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in a case saying that vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. They're not merely unsafe, they're unavoidably unsafe.
Well, then how can they run around and say they're safe and effective, though? Where's the FDA when you need them, man? Where's the Securities and Exchange Commission? Where's the, you know?
Well, the system is corrupt. Now, Sam, I think that most people, I'm a firm believer in the goodness of human nature generally. I think most people who work for the CDC and the FDA and the pharmaceutical industry are probably good people of integrity, following orders, trying to do a good day's work for a good day's pay. But I just saw a short YouTube video yesterday from...
Following orders?
Did you say following orders,
Alan? Kind of like, those guys in the German Nazi camps would just following orders?
Well, a lot of these people, unlike the people in the Nazi camps who knew what they were doing when they were following orders, and a lot of them had, you know, serious psychological, even physical reactions, you know, to that work and had difficulty doing it. But the people following orders in today's world, it's a much more subtle kind of situation. They believe the propaganda, and so they think they're doing the right thing. The foot soldiers, you know, the doctors who are pushing vaccines, most of them believe in what they are doing. You know, their heart's in the right place. They're just misinformed. And it's hard for many people to believe that it's possible to misinform a majority of doctors. These are brilliant people, you know, academically brilliant anyway. You have to be to get in and out of med school and through the medical exams and so forth. So surely they're smarter than all of us. Surely they know the truth, and so we can rely on them. Well, it turns out that's not the case. But this is part of the whole problem, that there's this sort of hypnotic trance that we've all been seduced into, where we believe we can trust them. They believe they can trust their sources, the CDC and whomever. And the people who are actually controlling and directing all this are a pretty small number of people who have just managed to get control of a relatively small number of key decision-making positions in industry and government. And then everybody else...
And media.
But everybody's following orders. And the media is a classic example. You can flip stations through different local and national media TVs, and they'll use the same words and phrasing and the same stories that they're all talking about.
Yeah, they're all talking points. The problem is a lot of these people in the media haven't done their research on vaccines, and they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Now, as far as I understand, when you get a vaccination, this is an important thing to understand. When we say they're unavoidably not safe, okay, that's true. However, the reason partially that's true is because what happens is when you get a vaccine, you become virtually a carrier for a period of time. You become infectious, don't you?
There certainly is evidence that sometimes it's the vaccinated people who are spreading diseases. It's really interesting. Even I know I was reading about pertussis recently, studies showing that even the vaccinated people can still carry pertussis cultures in their throat. This has been documented, and so they can go around spreading the disease.
Same thing with polio. Most of the cases are from vaccinated folks, right?
That has been the case in the U.S. in the last probably a few decades at this point, probably from like the late 70s or so onward. Cases of polio are fairly rare, but they tend to... There are several of the vaccines that are live viral vaccines, and they have a supposedly attenuated virus. That is a virus that has been supposedly rendered not able to create the full virulent disease, and yet somehow they're going to add adjuvants and other things into there so that it will supposedly generate the full antibody response. So we're going to give you basically a very mild form of the disease and somehow expect you to generate antibodies that will protect you from the full wild disease. It's an interesting
Don't worry, concept. It's attenuated, sir. They use these big words, too, to make you kind of not get it. What they're trying to say is they've kind of diluted it down to where it's not really a problem. We know how much is just enough. And see, that's kind of the lie, too, because, number one, there's bad batches of vaccines that may not be attenuated enough, number one. Number two, it all depends on your immune system. But when you intentionally start injecting everybody with a dumbed-down version of the disease, and then we claim, man, it's all those unvaccinated folks at Disneyland that are causing the problem, they couldn't be lying more.
Well, even the CDC acknowledges that 5 to 15% of vaccinated kids don't get immunity from the vaccine. So vaccines don't work on everyone, and they treat it like, oh, if you get a vaccine, you're fine. If you don't, you're going to kill everybody. And they're contradicting their own mainstream information.
Do you think they're telling the truth? Do you think when the CDC tells us, yeah, do you think when they say, hey, 10 to 15% don't get it, do you think they're telling the truth, Alan?
Well, there are peer-reviewed published medical studies that'll show even higher figures than that. But here's my point. Even if we use their conservative figures, 5 to 15%, let's just say roughly on average 10%, pick a number in the middle there to make the point. The CDC also tells us that the median exemption rate throughout the country is about 1.8%. Now, there are higher and lower figures in different states, but here's the point. Let's round that up to 2%, again, giving them the benefit of the doubt. There's still five times more non-immune vaccinated kids than there are exempt kids. So if there's a problem for people lacking immunity,
it's the vaccine failure rate that's the reality for the problem. That's why they go into this herd mentality. I mean, herd immunity idea to try to cover their tracks, right?
Well, herd immunity is this idea that as long as most people are immune, everybody's protected. And there might be some validity to that concept when you're talking about the wild virus or disease. But it's been disproved over and over and over and over again, decade after decade, as to how this really doesn't work when it comes to vaccination. And let's look at measles historically for a second. Back in the 1980s, there was a resurgence of measles around the country, outbreaks all over the place. And the CDC documented many instances, not only where there were highly vaccinated populations having outbreaks, but fully vaccinated populations. They even documented a 100% vaccinated population that had an outbreak of measles. And there was a meta study, a study that looked at all these other studies that were documenting these disease outbreaks in highly vaccinated populations. So a meta-study looking at the other studies. And the meta-study conclusion was that as with measles, as the immunization rates rise, measles becomes a disease of vaccinated people.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Alan Phillips on your radio.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago,
ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips with us, ladies and gentlemen. No matter how you feel about vaccines, it's a matter of transparency of information and a matter of choice. We are pro-choice when it comes to vaccinations. Do you vaccinate or not? Well, you make your own choice based on an informed decision. As long as the information is transparent, you're free to make that choice, is where we stand. Now, one of the big criticisms of the flu vaccine is, hey, there's a lot of different strains of the flu. The vaccine only covers a couple of strains. They have to let the vaccine, takes like a year to get it done. And golly, that's yesteryear's flu strain. And they didn't get it right. And the vaccines aren't effective because of that. And, well, the same thing is true with the measles vaccines, ladies and gentlemen. Scientists have identified about 21 different, quote, strains of the measles virus. How many do the vaccines cover, Alan Phillips? Any idea?
I was just reading a little bit about this, and I think they are assuming that the vaccine designed around a particular strain is going to protect against all of them.
Yeah, but that's a bogus assumption.
Well, it certainly is something that should be tested to find out one way or the other.
No, but you can't just, hold on. You just can't assume that kind of stuff. Wait a minute. We're talking about science here. We're running around declaring them safe and effective and everything else and forcing everyone to get them, and then we're going to say we're going to assume that they'll handle all that? What?
No, you're nuts. Absolutely right. It's unscientific.
So that's my problem with it. Whether it will or won't, I agree, should be tested. But my point is, you can't just assume those kinds of things. Because we know in the flu reality, that is not true, right?
Yeah, I mean, not if your goal is public health. If your goal is financial gain under the false pretense of public health, sure, you can do that. And that's
okay,
exactly
good
what
point.
Doing.
But all I can tell you is he who owns the media makes the rules, and they're flat-out lying, Brock on down, telling absolute lies. Even Ben Carson, tragic to say, has fallen for the lie. He wants everybody to be forced to take the jab, although he runs around telling you how much for your rights he really is. It's very strange indeed, to say the least. Alan Phillips, legislatively, that's really the focus that we need to spend our time on, and it needs to be broken down into state-by-state discussions, does it not?
It does, but there are some real simple principles that I think are going to apply everywhere. And, Sam, there are people who are willing to send a letter or send an email, and I tell you, doing something is better than nothing. But in my experience, writing to my own state leaders, not just the governor and representatives, but also state health department and Department of Education leaders, which I did during the swine flu pandemic, mostly I got no response at all. When I did get a response, it was a form letter that completely ignored everything I said. Now, I'm not saying this as a put down to legislators, but we got to understand they don't have time to read letters. They have staff that reads letters. And if they get 500 letters about a topic, then they'll bring it to the legislators' attention and maybe they'll think about it. So if at all possible, Sam, you have to schedule a face-to-face sit-down meeting. So, and if not, schedule a telephone meeting. The second thing is, don't try to bring these people up to speed on the vaccine controversy. Most of us spent years, I know I spent a couple of decades getting where I am, and you're not going to bring somebody up to speed on the issue in 5 or 10 minutes on the phone or a face-to-face meeting. Pick out 3 or 4 irrefutable key points. You know, we keep talking about the compensation program. Well, the federal government posts all those figures on their website. Anybody can go to the web there and confirm that. That's an irrefutable fact that they pay out however many dollars they pay out, for example. Things like that. Things like you can go look at the official government statistics, and 90 to 95% of disease decline in the 1900s preceded the introduction of vaccines. So this whole notion that we have to have vaccines, that we're going to go back to the, you know, late 1800s and have rampant infectious disease, it's just sheer nonsense. So there are you know, a few key points that you can use to make your point. Something that you could summarize on one page, something that has clear authoritative references, the medical literature, government statistics, and so forth. The fact that pharmaceutical companies get criminal fines in the hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars, not a conspiracy theory. And by the way, the phrase conspiracy theory is not a bad word to me, but it is the way that people on the other side of the issue will immediately dismiss anything you say. So you got to stay away from the quote-unquote
conspiracy. And that's why I focus so much on the Injury Compensation Fund and the Injury Act and the insert, because, you know, how are you going to argue with those things?
You really can't, Sam, and those are key points. And you just don't hear that. The closest you hear to that is people saying, oh, they're safe and effective. All these anti-vaccine people are crazy. They're lying. They should all, as you say, go to jail or whatever. I mean, I've had people contacting me saying, my child's school has called me, and the school's getting complaints from other parents who are saying, we don't want any non-vaccinated kids in the school now.
And my response is, have you read the insert and the side effects therein? And if they haven't, you say, then you don't know what you're talking about. We should read this together because you're ignorant.
Exactly, exactly. So these are the kinds of things, though, that if you do, if at all possible, a sit-down face-to-face talk with your representatives, and you bring just a few, 3, 4, 5, maybe at most, of these key points that you can make a profound impact. And you say things to them that they can wrap their mind around quickly and easily, that they can walk away and repeat to themselves or one of their peers.
And you give them figures about the National Injury Compensation Program that, hey, it's already spent $3 billion, and on the CDC's website, they admit we don't get even a percentage of the adverse reactions the injury and death really caused. They blatantly admit to those facts. They're easy to verify.
Exactly. And that's how we can maximize our effectiveness. Now, Sam, of course, the ideal would be to have large numbers of people doing this, but I have actually seen an instance here in North Carolina. It wasn't a vaccine issue. It was another issue where I wasn't even able to go to a legislative public hearing, so I had somebody take a letter for me and read it, and that one letter actually derailed some legislation that I thought needed to not get passed. And I actually had a senator, state senator, call me and come to my office and say, how can we get you on board, the one who had sponsored the legislation? You'd be amazed sometimes what an individual can do if you just put yourself out there. So face-to-face if you can, telephone if you absolutely can't. If you can't do anything else, then write a letter or send an email, but generally those are not going to be as effective unless there's large numbers of people doing them. And then share this information.
But even so, if you had large numbers of people trying to meet with them face-to-face or large numbers of people on the phone with them, it'd be tying up their time scenario. It'd have 10 times the impact even if we had a lot of people.
I agree. Really, really good point. There was a legislative activist in Texas who was successful getting some vaccine-related legislation through down there, and she said that at some point they had the fax machines, the legislators' fax machine, just running, you know, constantly with people sending faxes, and they finally said, okay, just stop the faxes, you know. And so a similar kind of idea made their point. And that's exactly the kind of thing we need to do, because there are, I'm sure, a number of legislators that are bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry, but they're not all. And at the federal level, Princeton University just released a study, Sam, showing that the average person in America has zero influence on federal policy, that's all run and controlled by the wealthy elite. But the state legislators are not yet at that point.
Yes, and it's only because the American people don't know what to do, though. If American people literally came to Washington, literally demanded meetings, literally called. I'll give you a quick example. If you had 1 million people send a postcard to the IRS saying, I love you every single day, 365 million pieces of mail every day, trust you me, we would have an impact. So you're right. Individually, with no plan, we have no impact. But if we planned and organized and worked together, there's no stopping our greater numbers, sir. So what I'm saying is they're sowing the seeds of a lie, and the sad part is most people are buying it.
Well, I believe it's a historical fact. Whether or not it can be changed is a separate question. But here's the point for my purposes, that primarily where the rubber meets the road on the vaccine issue, it's going to be the state legislators. The federal government does not have authority to mandate vaccines for state residents. Now,
that won't stop Barack, but I hear you.
It won't. Senator Boxer just introduced federal legislation to require vaccines in connection with Head Start programs. I don't think that Congress even has the authority to pass that legislation, but it hasn't stopped Congress, or for that matter, some state legislators, from passing unconstitutional bills in the past. So we can't assume they're going to follow the law, because sometimes they don't. But primarily, this is playing out in the state legislatures. And the evidence for this is clear, Sam. If the federal government could mandate vaccines for state residents, they would have done so a long time ago. You know, we wouldn't be sitting where we are today. So these laws are primarily at the state level. And that's why primarily, not exclusively by any means, but primarily, I think our focus right now needs to be at the state level, because they are now attempting and preparing to yank our non-medical exemptions out from under us. And if we let this happen, Sam, we may find ourselves in a point of no return here. So we've got to be involved now. There is a website that people can go to that has this all laid out for them. It's the National Vaccine Information Center's advocacy portal, and it's NVIC for National Vaccine Information Center, NVICAdvocacy.org.
Spell advocacy just because.
Yeah, ADVOCACY. Got C's
.org.
.org. They have information. They'll tell you who your representatives are. They make it as easy as possible as it can be in terms of somebody's time and effort to participate in the legislative process where vaccines are concerned. So if you're like most of us and you barely have time to eat lunch each day, let alone get out and be a legislative activist, good news is you can do it quickly through the NVIC advocacy portal.
And the good news is you got a friend in the vaccine defense business, ladies and gentlemen. We believe in agency and free choice. Alan Phillips. All right. His website, vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com. If you need guidance, get a hold of Alan. He's got a booklet available. He's also available for consulting, etc. And he certainly believes in your right to choose. Thanks, Alan.
Great pleasure, Sam. Thanks for the honor.
There he goes, doing a great job. See, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, science is against vaccinations. The propaganda is for vaccinations. The new media takes center stage as more and more people discover the truth. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can restore America. This nation shall endure.